Well, he's been suspended from the Labor Party and he's under the cloud of a police and ASIO raid on his home and office. But today, the New South Wales MP, Shaukat Mosselman, has insisted he is not a suspect. In his first public comments, he's told a news conference that an investigation is looking into others suspected of working with China to infiltrate Australian politics, and he's denied any wrongdoing.
I am under no illusion that this is a serious investigation. The first of its kind, precedents will be set and lives changed. Sadly, the political lynching has already commenced. Let me tell you, I have done nothing wrong. I have done nothing wrong. I have never jeopardised the welfare of our country and our people.
Well, police are not giving details of the investigation involving Mr. Mosselman's home and office. But in China, the Communist Party-controlled Global Times newspaper is accusing Australia of, quote, waging an intensifying espionage campaign in that country. China correspondent Bill Birtles spoke to me from Beijing. So, Bill, what are the allegations made against Australia in the Chinese media and what evidence do they present?
Linda, they're wide-ranging. It's almost like a grab bag of different allegations going back many years. But probably the most significant one is that the Global Times claims that an Australian espionage operation was foiled in China in 2018 and that Australian intelligence agents, plural, were, to quote the Global Times, caught red-handed. Now, you've got to remember the Global Times being a jingoistic, sort of extremely nationalistic tabloid. It does have a track record for sensationalism, but it published this picture of the evidence that the Australian agents supposedly, the items they supposedly had on them when they were caught in 2018, including a map of Shanghai, a compass, gloves, foreign currency, all the traditional sorts of spy things that you might see in the movies, a notebook, for example. So this was one of the most significant allegations, that there was a specific operation where Australian operatives were supposedly busted. Aside from that, things like Australian spies stepping up espionage campaigns against China, operating from the Australian embassy in Beijing, spying on Chinese students in Australia. And they even go right back to the 1990s when there was the infamous story about the Australians bugging the Chinese embassy in Canberra on behalf of the Americans, publishing photos which the Chinese government claims are of bugs in the Chinese embassy that were discovered.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about that story in a moment. But while Beijing is taking aim at Australia, it's also pushing forward with the national security law that it wants to impose in Hong Kong. First of all, what's the timetable for those changes?
So there's a meeting up in Beijing, which is due to conclude tomorrow, where they're reviewing this bill. Now, you've got to remember, it's a done deal, all this talk of reviews and so forth. It's a sort of rubber stamp parliamentary process. So it's almost certain to be announced either later today or tomorrow that China's government has approved, has officially introduced this bill. But then it does have to go through a process of basically decree locally in Hong Kong's Legislative Assembly. So there was some talk that Beijing would try and rush this through ahead of July the 1st, because July the 1st traditionally is a big protest day in Hong Kong.
And what are Hong Kongers and the business community in particular, I suppose, saying about what the law could mean for freedom and the way of life in the territory?
Well, ordinary Hong Kongers, certainly those who are politically active, on the whole, have made quite a point of how there's still a lot of secrecy about the exact provisions of this law. And we're hoping once it is officially passed, we will know exactly how it will operate. But selected media outlets have had leaks. We found out today, for example, it looks very likely that people convicted under these national security laws in Hong Kong could be jailed for life, and that the judges who preside over these cases will be handpicked by Beijing. So for a lot of Hong Kongers, of course, they're very concerned that this will severely curtail political speech. But you talk about the business community. In recent weeks, quite a few of the large corporates that operate in Hong Kong have issued statements of support for the national security law. And it would appear that they are under significant pressure from China's government to issue those public support notices. From the language, it's always fairly mild-mannered. There doesn't seem to be a lot of enthusiasm, Linda, from these multinationals, but at the same time, the language is supportive of the change.
Bill Birtles, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you.
China correspondent Bill Birtles in Beijing.